The Tuttles try to make sense of why their family has fallen apart.
Yeah, you know, there were plenty of good times. I mean, I've enjoyed working with my father. Not always, but, you know, there's been times where it was good.
Senior, Junior, and Mikey give in-depth interviews on the events that have led to their estrangement.
As far as Paulie being driven to be successful, I don't think so.
You're the most disrespectful person that I know.
How did it get this bad?
I think, honestly, things went bad when money started getting tight and they weren't making it hand over fist at Orange County Choppers anymore.
Where do they stand now?
When I opened up my own shop, the idea was to do things differently. We had an awesome opportunity to start from scratch and really establish a good work ethic.
And what does the future hold?
If he has a genuine interest in having reconciliation, then he doesn't show it at all.
After 20-something years, I've been trying so hard to make this thing work, I can't do it no more. I think if I could say anything to Paulie right now, I think it would be, what do we need to do to move forward? Because all we have is the present. You know, I think that in the beginning, it was serious, but it wasn't serious.
You got enough time here to do a little bit something on here, bring Pooley out here, bring Ronnie out here, and let's figure out.
What I need them for?
Well, maybe Pooley can look at the bike and draw something up and give us some kind of idea.
Yeah, you know, there were plenty of good times. You put all your differences aside and you're there for a cause.
What are we doing here?
I'm working, I don't know what you're doing.
Listen, come here for a second. Figure out who's doing what. Put something in order, and then let's move forward.
So then get your hands dirty, and we won't have no problems. We'll get it done in no time.
My hands
That's a little
dirty,
too much to ask,
but
I understand.
It's not going to be dirt, it's going to be blood.
I know.
It was exciting to see those guys at work, to get into the routine of yelling at Paulie for making a mess. It really wasn't taken so much to heart at that particular time. And I think that, you know, we were able to share a lot of moments. You know, I thought that it would continue, not only on a father and son basis, but also on a business relationship.
Well, I can definitely say I've been influenced by my father.
There were definitely times where we did some cool stuff. We had some awesome opportunities. You know, where we went places and did stuff, Europe, Australia. We had access to things that most people wouldn't have access to. You know, those are kind of the amazing moments, kind of historically, since we started building bikes.
Artillery load! Holy yeah, there were times that we had that were good, you know? And there were times where I really felt close to my father. We've always worked for my father, and we always wanted his approval in that. So I think occasionally we got it. And when you get that from your father, it gives you sort of a sense of self-worth and makes you feel really good.
This was supposed to be a three-day fab.
Hey, wait a minute. So we're trying...
Every time I come out here, Vinny's doing a job and you're holding his hand. Get your hands dirty for a change. Do some welding and grinding instead of watching everybody else do it.
Listen, I think what changed the situation with Paulie is that once there really started to be money involved, those guys were not ready for it.
I make it happen and you don't.
You make it happen every time.
Because
your ideas are so good.
But
your ideas are like real.
That's it.
Everybody wants your
ideas. That's it.
Don't talk about paychecks
with
me.
No, you don't talk about paychecks.
Don't talk about paychecks with me. You don't want to go there.
No, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there.
I know.
Yeah, I know too.
Yeah.
That's all you worry about.
Gimme.
And you do for it.
Really?
Yeah.
You got an awfully nice house from what I did. You got an awfully nice house for what I did.
Put in another 20 years and then maybe you can have that.
There's always been a dysfunction with me and my father. There's always been a situation where my father has been very competitive with me in an unhealthy, ununderstandable way from coming from a son's perspective.
You're supposed to be a power of example.
Like you are?
Yeah.
To this company, you're a power of example?
Yeah, I run
your stability
company.
Here gives everybody a feeling of
yeah,
comfort.
It does.
Are you out of your mind? Do you know what you do here to this company? You could literally drive this company underground by your actions.
You're the most disrespectful person that I know.
And so are you. And so are you.
I'm your father.
And just because you're my father, I'm an adult now. You have to respect me as well.
I don't respect the person
that
does the same thing over and over. I have no respect for you.
Have you looked in the mirror?
Yeah, I have looked in the mirror.
And so you're going to me?
I work on myself.
You're
going to
judge me?
What the you do?
Listen,
you know what?
Get out of my face.
No, you.
All right, get out of my face.
Don't tell me to get out of your face.
Man, you're gonna bury this company.
If there's anything I do regret, I think it's I think it's what the business has done to our relationship.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Dad.
You know, I wish we could just separate.
I know. Me too.
Business with personal.
Me too. Because it's going good around here, I mean, we're doing good.
Yeah.
You know.
But I was thinking about it. I just feel like we haven't done that in a long time, and I don't miss it.
I don't miss it either. I looked up to my father the way anyone would look up to their father. I think, it's just something that a son does. Looks up to his father, looks to him, you know, for things in life that, came in before anyone that morning, and I had an argument with my father the day before. He wanted me to mock up bikes, which is not a big deal normally.
Basically, what he said is that he's a designer and that he should be designing parts and not mocking up a bike.
We were looking at launching a parts line. We had all this stuff going on, and he wanted me to mock up bikes just to lord over me. And it just became almost a bullying situation. So I called him, and maybe I shouldn't have. Maybe I should have just mocked up the bikes, but I didn't. And that kind of started it.
What's going on?
You know, I'm so fed up with this babysitting you. It's a quarter to eight. Yeah, everybody's in here at 7 o'clock, and you come walking in at quarter to eight. When the is it going to stop? Who the are you? I don't get it. It's like,
listen.
Wait a second. Wait a minute. You come in at quarter to eight, right time, you leave, you don't come back for an hour later, then you leave here at 3:30 in the afternoon. I don't understand. Watch his son?
Wait a minute.
I think the blowout my father had with my brother when he fired him wasn't any worse than your average blowout that they've had in the past. I think maybe it was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
Here's what it says, number one. It says, need to be here at 7 o'clock next day. 7:40 you come in. The next day, need to be here at 12:45 for lunch. Like everybody else, you come back 1:30.
You know, I knew something was coming to a head. I can't say that I knew I was going to get fired, but I knew something was, there was a build, and that's usually how it worked. And, you know, in hindsight, it was awesome. I mean, I needed to be fired to be where I am now. Listen, right. I don't really give a
no,
about
I don't give a
because at the end of the day, you know what matters? Everything gets done around here. Every bike that needs to get built gets done. Everybody's working at all times. And you know what? 10 years, this is the kind of stuff we've been dealing with for 10 years.
Yeah.
We're partnering this thing. We're involved here. Let me tell you something.
Listen.
If I wasn't involved, this go to it would burn to the
You know what? Get the out of here. And don't bother coming in tomorrow because you're terminated.
Good, it's about time! And you know, I look back at it when I watch the show, and I wish I would have responded differently, and I can't make any excuses for it. I mean, he could have fired me, I could have walked out calmly, but I didn't. I blew up. You know, I lost it. You know, you lose it sometimes because you got a lot of built-up anger.
At the end of the day, I remember pulling in my driveway, and I sat there just kind of reflecting over what happened, and basically, you know, I kind of looked at it as, is it really worth it? Is there a way to resolve this?
All right, baby, 8:29, good morning to you. It is the Coop and Tobin Show. John has a day off.
The day that my father launched that lawsuit against Paul was sort of, you know, it's that moment where your heart drops into your feet.
Paul!
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Paul Jr. on the line with us.
You know, the day, the radio show.
you know, I called in to support Michael.
Do you think you can put it back together with your dad, or do you think your relationship's done?
Again, you know, we don't have any communication other than through lawyers, unfortunately.
I got Paul Senior on the line. Hi, Paul.
Hey, what's up, Coop?
My father called in. I hadn't talked to him for a year and a half, and I definitely felt set up, man. It was like an ambush.
Your son on the line. You want to say hi to him?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
I really didn't go into that radio interview with the battle. As a matter of fact, I started off by more or less saying how you guys are doing, you know?
What do you think about what you've heard, Paul?
You know, I think that both Mikey and Paulie had some validity in what they said, you know, and, you know, there's two sides to the story, and then there's the truth.
You know, he started off in an interesting way. He kind of seemed like he was going to be kind of laid back about it.
You know, when it's over, you know, I hope to be somewhere on a boat fishing with my sons.
Paul, you there?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
You know, my father's always had these swings. You know, one minute he wants to be on a boat fishing with us, and the next minute, you know, he's saying how he carried us our whole lives.
Where the problem comes in for me is the lawsuit. I mean, I would never have brought this legal, never in a million years, and that's what's destroyed the family in part.
He gave me his word that if I brought in an appraiser,
evaluate the company, I paid the appraiser, he came in, he evaluated the company, and he backed out on the deal.
The evaluation, interestingly enough, came back zero.
The appraiser that did the fair market value was the same appraiser that he used when he got his 20% of the business. Now, all of a sudden, the appraiser is either working with us or he doesn't know what he's doing. I find that pretty strange.
Hey, it's funny though that it's funny. Hey, it's kind of funny though that in front of a judge, the judge awarded me the buyout. How do you justify that?
I'll tell you my share, but there's something about the word sell that doesn't equal zero.
Listen, reality is reality. That's your problem. You're not living in reality.
You know, I was on the air to promote a charity event that I was going to be a part of, and then to have my father call in and my brother call in and then start arguing, and it being the first time that they've spoken to each other in a year, it was pretty disheartening, it was pretty ugly, and it made my stomach hurt.
What's the business worth?
Nothing.
It's worth zero?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I'll buy your 80%.
Ooh, zinger.
They say your 20% is worth zero. They spend all kinds of time, money, and energy on a lawsuit, paying lawyers and everything else to get that 20%. I mean, why do you want it if it's not worth anything? For me, I know it has a value, you know? And what is that? You see, it's more about the principle than the money, okay? I'm not driven by, oh, how much money can I get out of OCC? That's not it at all. But I'm not going to walk away just being bullied. You see, that's the whole thing. I've been bullied for many, many years. So I'm not going to just walk away from it because they sick their lawyers on me, you know? That's what they want. They want me to go, oh, I'm afraid of this lawsuit. Here's my 20%. That's what they banked on. A year and a half later, that's not what happened.
Listen, I think that at this point,
we're not getting anywhere, so.
All right.
I think I'm going to bow out of the situation, and I wish you guys well.
You know, and that's the last time he'll be talking to me. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I could never do that to my kid.
You know, when that radio interview was done, honestly, I didn't expect it to be as publicly known, even though everything was already out in the street. I think Paulie wants the world to know that everybody's against him, and it's the way that it's always been all his life is poor me, poor me.
Hey, Steve, have you seen this? There was an article in the paper today, and basically it's talking about him looking around for a place to set up his new shop.
My father's reaction to the paper, you know, he acted very angrily.
I got a picture, old picture from way back from the first show, and I look at his face, and even back then, it looks like arrogant. And you know what I mean? How he's got that always arrogant look on his face, like he's always better than somebody else.
My father's made accusations about me being arrogant. I really don't understand where he's getting that. I feel like if you look at him, it's like this role reversal. It's like everything he sees in the mirror, he projects onto me.
He's never followed through with one thing in his life, not one thing. And he's talking about putting his shop together. When I started building bikes out of my basement, I didn't need to have a full-out equipped facility.
I didn't have nothing. I laid on the wet ground building bikes.
He would always say, no one ever gave me anything, so why should you have it? That's his attitude. Instead of saying, hey, this is great, we're all growing together, what an awesome opportunity to grow as a family and as a business, he always looked at me like I got something that he never had. And it was a problem for him.
Tell me if these are the four dumbest looking you ever seen.
He said, look at these four dumb F's. Use the F word. I could deal with that for me, but Rachel was in the picture. That's the kind of stuff that bothers me. For one, she's never done anything wrong to him. So for him to have something this bad to say about her, it's pretty low blow.
On Discovery.
You know what I think we got to do, Vin, to be honest with you? I think we got to get them lifts in that corner.
You know, huge step for Paul Jr. Designs, and everyone involved really was finding the building. It was just perfect.
We got to get the shop into a working shop because, you know, a deal does come in and a client wants his bike and, you know, he wants to see where his bike's going to be built.
It's good for now. We can always tweak it a little bit.
It was awesome being right down the road from Ironworks, where it all started for us. I mean, that's where we really started building bikes. That's where Orange County Choppers started.
Really, what we did today is just the beginning. Fortunately, it's starting to look like a motorcycle shop with the bike lifts and the right machinery.
Not only did it feel in personnel, with Vinny back on board, obviously Mikey in the fold.
Nubly. Boy, am I glad to see you.
Yeah. Nub, Rachel, Joe, everybody kind of in there. But location-wise, we were taking it full circle, too. I mean, we were right one building over from where it all started. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Definitely, starting this business, there's a lot of people who are going to support me. And then there's a handful of people out there that definitely want to see me fail. I think that they realize our location now. They've indicated that they're not happy that I'm building bikes. So, you know, with that in mind, we only have to worry about ourselves. Right. That's all I care about. What they think doesn't matter to me. It's just about getting things done and doing it the right way here. We're gonna keep marching forward. We got the right location, the right building, and we're gonna build some bikes. So that's what, 30 days from today?
Right, yeah.
My father just drove by. Yeah. I'm on the phone with Rachel, talking about the wedding, and, who drives by? Why? And we don't have a contract with them yet either, do we? Oh, he just drove by again. He's driving back and forth. Yeah, he looks like he's on the Lugs bike, but they changed the paint job.
I think my little drive-by was part of intimidation there, but most of it was kind of like an immature ha-ha thing. I thought maybe it also would maybe inspire him to pick up the competition, because to be totally honest with you, I was welcoming the competition.
From what I can see, it doesn't look like he's building any bikes.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe he's coming to congratulate me.
I was glad that the cameras caught it, because it had been happening for a while before he actually stopped and did something in front of the building.
The show's called American Chopper, and it's all about building bikes. You know, from what I understand, Paulie hasn't even come close to building a bike yet.
You know, I don't know what the deal is. If it's some sort of tactic to intimidate me, I think that it didn't work.
You can't spend all your time setting up your shop and not building bikes. He thought that stuff was just going to come to him like it had all his life by me giving it to him, and now that's not the case.
I can't think of one good reason as to why he would be here with a bike parked. The drive-bys I understand, but the park part I don't.
There's always been a dysfunction with me and my father. My father has been very competitive with me. I don't know if he feels like he worked harder than me or is working harder. I think he's always resented my success.
You know, the day we went to court, I was almost kind of looking forward to it because I thought maybe that would bring it closer to the end.
As far as having the cameras here today, Paulie has refused to do it. I have cameras here because I have absolutely nothing to hide. He doesn't want to really face the truth, and he doesn't want the public to really know the truth because he knows he's doing the wrong thing.
He can take cameras anywhere he wants. For me, the courtroom is not a place for the cameras.
Hopefully this whole lawsuit will be done and over with soon when my father realizes that he's done the wrong thing. And if he's ready to make changes, we can get the situation taken care of.
I don't see it ending that quick. But if it ended tomorrow, it wouldn't be quick enough.
Mijo!
Hey, how did it go?
It went good, you know, as good as court can go.
Red tape?
When your father's suing you.
You know, I know Paul's not an angel, you know, but at the same time, you're talking about a father who's trying to destroy his son, and that just, that goes against all the rules.
You know, during the course of the event, did you by any chance make any kind of contact with Dad?
Matter of fact, I was outside in the hallway with my attorney talking, and he walked by, and I saw him, like, wandering around, and he looked like he was looking for a bathroom. So I said, hey, Dad, down to the left, and it's on the right, and he just ignored me.
During this whole thing, I've looked Paulie in the eye. He's never been able to look me in the eye. To me, it's always been my life experience that if somebody's got something to hide, they won't look you in the eye.
Well, there was very little effort on his part to figure out how to get my 20% in a normal fashion, other than give it to me for zero. It was like a stick up. You know what I mean?
There was an agreement between me and Paulie that at any given time, that if I wanted to buy him out at fair market value, that he was in agreement with that. As a matter of fact, it was in a contract. He was expecting a pot of gold. He didn't get that, and then he reneged on his word.
Even the judge is of the mind of, hey, guys, get this resolved, you guys can move on and be a family again. And that's what's important to me.
I don't think that I'm out to destroy Paulie. I honestly believe that his biggest objective is for me to fail.
I think somewhere in this whole mix, Dad has convinced himself that he's the victim. And that's how he justifies all the bad relationships. You know what I mean? Everybody's out against him, and it's just not the case.
Yeah, you know, we all love my father very much. And we're very certain that my father loves us. He's just showing it in some god-awful ways.
I love you. Thanks for coming by and checking on me.
I love you, too.
I gotta shower.
I gotta travel today. I'll see you in a couple days.
All right, I gotta go sue myself.
You gonna sue yourself?
I do feel like it's them against me. Of course, it makes you think, well, maybe it's me, you know. But I'm not buying that, you know. I don't agree with that because I don't really think that I'm a bad guy. You know, as far as everybody kind of, I guess, not wanting to be part of my life, I kind of feel that's their loss.
It's gonna be sweet.
I reached the voicemail box of Michael Tuttle. I'll do my very best to get back to you. Thank you.
Hi, Mike. This is your daddy. Maybe you can give me a call or email me or whatever. I just kind of want to see how you're doing. And maybe we can go out to dinner or something. So if you get a chance, give me a call. You know, I don't think the scars go as deep with Mikey as they do with me and Paulie. I think if anything, there would be a greater possibility to get together with Mikey to try to reconciliate our relationship. So I've reached out to him, made phone calls.
My father raised all of my siblings and I to take care of each other, to back each other up. And when my father gets the idea that he can carry on a relationship with me while launching massive attacks at Paul, I think he's in his own delusional little world about it, and it's just whacked.
I'm listening.
You know what I wanted to talk to you about up here? I got a phone call from Dad the other day.
Yeah?
Yes. He said he wanted to meet up and get some lunch or a meal or something, or communicate via email. I think I'm going to communicate with him via email.
Okay.
See how that goes.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
I kind of feel deep down inside that that I really didn't do anything to Mikey. So, you know, I wonder why he reacts the way he does. And I strongly believe that Paulie is a big part of that, because I think that by Mikey coming over to me, that's a somewhat of a defeat for Paulie.
You have your own relationship with Dad. I think that you have to do whatever it is you feel is the right thing, you know?
Yeah. I don't have any control over Michael.
None.
But I like it that way. I mean, for me, that's good. It's healthy for us. We can be brothers. I don't have to be lording over him or oppressive. I'm going to give him my opinion, but I never want to persuade him one way or another. He has to make his own decisions, as do I.
Use your head. Try and do what you can.
It's very vague.
There's a lot of pressure on me to be fixing this situation because it's kind of traditionally been my place in the family to kind of try and mend things. But this is way beyond me, and I have me to worry about.
Hey, fellas, gather up. All right, here's the deal. Everyone knows I've been working on trying to get bike builds, and we got some stuff in the works, but I made a decision today. We're just going to build a bike for the shop.
You know, it was really important for the morale of the company to get this bike and get some work going. It was tough, man. It was really tough getting builds in the beginning because, you know, people had their doubts. They really did, and I understand. I was part of a bigger situation. You know, when you stand alone, you kind of have to prove yourself all over again. People know what your capabilities are, but how much of that was where you were and how much of that can you do now? And so it was a real situation where people were waiting to see, hey, what's he gonna do? And it gave us an opportunity to put some of the stuff out there that started this whole thing from the beginning.
I want the bike to be ours, so we're just gonna go ahead and build it whatever we want.
Awesome, awesome.
Sounds like a plan, man.
All right.
Yeah, man.
All right, I'm going to see my boy. I'm going to see the son that I always wanted. Did I tell you that you're the son that I've always wanted?
Yeah, you did tell me that.
Is that the way you say that?
Yeah, yeah, that sounds good.
You're the son that I really always wanted.
That's like half a compliment.
You know, in reference to saying to Jason, you're the son that I never had, I've probably said that about 10 different times to 10 different people. I think it's just a cliche that people say. There was no intent for it to mean Paulie or Mikey or Dan are not my son, and I'd rather have Jason for his son, although I guess that's the way it was taken.
You can call me Spanky. I always wanted to be called Spanky.
You know, the whole senior Jason, the son I never had thing, didn't really bother me. They're joking. They joked about that before when we were all working there, so it wasn't the first time that came out. I just think maybe it was probably accentuated because of the situation, you know? I mean, it's kind of a weird way to act, but, you know, the whole situation's weird.
Get your hands off of that and stop moving this.
Dude, stop hitting me, please. When I'm working with him and he starts freaking out and yelling at me, I do feel like one of his kids. And so I think that's where he kind of relates to that, you know, because there's definitely a void there. I guess I'm the new whipping post in town.
I'm gonna take you home with me.
All right, I got adopted.
I don't know, I think my father says awkward things like, you know, to Jason that he's the son he always wished he had. And you really can't, Jason is almost not to blame in a certain sense that, what are you gonna say, you know, I'm not your son? No, he may get fired, so. I don't know. I think a lot of things that they do over there is sort of brought about by fear of my father and losing your job.
Come on, use it all. Get the whole thing.
Let her,
come on,
Johnny, yeah, keep her going, Johnny. Just let her
come on,
go.
Johnny.
Today's the big day. We're gonna launch the dummy that looks like Junior off the ramp.
I caught a glimpse of an episode where my father was launching an effigy of Paul off some sort of ramp on a motorcycle, and then he landed and crashed.
If it doesn't work, I may cry.
It was sort of sick, demented, twisted, uncalled for, and I just feel that if they have all those people wasting company money and time, then maybe they ought to rethink their
business strategy.
Their business strategy.
Where's his head?
This dummy is a person in my life, or should I say not in my life right now. You know, I'm hoping that this will create some dialogue. It's all in fun.
Come straight down like a thin line. Now cut it over and then come all the way up.
Hopefully he has a sense of humor that I do. And let's face it, if Mikey and Paul were out here now, they'd be loving it.
That whole dummy launch ramp thing, it bothered me. The entire episode, they don't build a bike, they build a ramp. What's the ramp for? Well, to launch a bike off with me on it. So to go ahead and do that kind of a visual thing and just see, you know, the dummy launch and just the awkward position it lands in. And then to hear my father go ahead and say, oh, if Mikey and Paulie were here, they would have laughed about this. It's not true. It really bothered me. It's really disturbing. And it really, it makes you wonder where he's at. It like takes it again to a whole nother level.
You know, I think that if Paulie took that in the context of me wanting to destroy him in any way, shape, or manner, that's not what that was about. It was all about a good time. And that's exactly what that was about, having a good time.
But the main goal is we cleared what we wanted to clear. So I would like to see 50 feet, but we got 30 plus. So I think of all the time and effort we put into it, it panned out to be worth it.
You know, he's tried to stop Paul Jr. Designs.
From the minute it started,
he said, I will destroy you. He said, I will take every penny that I have and make sure that I destroy you. I'll do everything in my power. I'll take all my resources and make sure that you're done. That's what he said to me.
You're in heaven, buddy.
I was invited to do an interview with Iron Horse Magazine, which I've done in the past, and Paulie's done in the past.
Well, I want you to know that I did ask Junior to join in this interview, and he said no to me.
That's no surprise. I kind of think it's ridiculous. You know, you're mixing business with personal stuff. Being in a magazine evidently is good. The visibility is good. So why wouldn't you do it?
I said, my God, father and son, they work together. Yeah, yeah. They have a great relationship, and they're building this whole empire. And then all of a sudden, I find out that he's now opened up a shop very close to where your shop is.
And I'm still building the empire.
Yeah, you know, the editor of Iron Horse said to start off the interview that I declined an interview with her, which was not true. I just wasn't going to do an interview with my father. That's what she wanted.
So let me ask you a question. While you were doing this in your basement, were your children involved? Was Junior involved?
No.
So how did he get involved with... He must have come from his dad, no?
You know what? No, because he doesn't like bikes.
Somehow he's seen it as a weakness in me that I don't have the same passion for actually the riding part as he does. That doesn't mean I don't know about riding bikes. That doesn't mean I don't like riding bikes. I don't do it the way he does. If I'm not doing it the way he does, it's unacceptable and ridiculous.
If I wasn't doing what I was doing now, he wouldn't be doing that, because the only reason he's doing that is, you know, to, you know, burn my ass.
That's a lot to think of yourself, to think that someone else would go through the extent that I've gone to just aggravate him. I mean, I can do that with a phone call or try and taunt him. Why would I go and take all a year of my life and try and build this company just to aggravate him?
I think every father wants their son to follow in their footsteps. And you lay it out for him. I try to lay it out for him.
The two of them built a major motorcycle company together. They've seen worldwide success. And my father is, in fact, a millionaire because of the combination of the two. And I think, honestly, my father is a little confused.
You hope, you hope, you hope, and it wears you down. My health was failing. Because when you see that stuff, it's true. When you see those fights, it's true, because I can't allow that stuff, no matter how many times it is, you know? And I came to the realization, I said, you know, after 20-something years, I've been trying so hard to make this thing work, I can't do it no more.
20 years, I mean, I'm 36. So since I was 16,
somehow he's not been able to make it work with me. In other words, the suggestion is that all the effort's been his. And I'm just so impossible to deal with that it just hasn't worked out.
Well, I can't thank you enough. This has been wonderful.
Thank you.
Real treat. It's always great to see you.
I have a team of people that are very passionate. It's obvious. You know, do I feel that I'd like Paulie and Mikey to be a part of that? I think that's something that I've wanted for a long time. But I think that in order to be in reality, I have to tell myself that that's not going to happen.
Hi, everybody. How you doing? Oh, that's not good enough. Come on. My brother Paul is going to be coming up here in a second, and he's going to be showing you his brand new motorcycle, the first one that he's built. And I just wanted everybody to know that we've always been kind of synonymous with OCC. Now, you're going to become more familiarized with PJD.
You know, I'm confident when people see this bike, they're going to realize that we've arrived. It's going to be a great unveil. This is like nothing we've ever done. I love the theme. I've done it always. But this is very unique, and I think people are going to love the originality of the project.
So without further interruption, my big brother, and one of the greatest bike builders in the world, Paul Jr. and the Anti-Venom bike!
I think the reason why I didn't show up for Paul's unveil, it was kind of like, what for? I don't think that he would want to say that, yeah, my dad was here. And I'm happy about that. Otherwise, I think I would have shown up, you know?
How's everybody doing? Good? Yeah, you know, Anti-Venom unveil was a huge day, a real milestone in my life, in the company. We were able to come out and show what we can do at a huge event like Sturgis being one of the biggest bike rallies out there, and to let people know that, yeah, we're not with Orange County Choppers, but we are back.
I just wanted to say I love my brother very much. I'm very proud of him. And I think honestly, one day if I ever have a son like him, I'll be exceptionally proud.
Mikey had some really nice heartfelt stuff. I think we both deal with the idea that my father isn't really doing what he should be doing. And, you know, normally maybe you'd have your father here for a proud moment. So I think Mikey thought he'd step it up, being my only family member here. And, you know, he kind of stepped in for him. I thought that was really nice. And, you know, I would do the same for him. Want to start it up?
Yeah! All right.
Let me get the picture first.
If I would have shown up at that unveiling, I would have took the attention off of him. Not that he wouldn't get attention, but I definitely would have drew attention away from him. And I don't think that he would appreciate that too much. So I think that deep down inside, he's glad that I wasn't there.
Great unveil. We had a great crowd.
It's just better than the Black Widow bike ever thought about being. Yeah, he's a good bike builder.
We are established in the industry as Paul Jr. Designs, and we're just going to keep cranking them out. Thanks again, guys.
Are we going to Paulie's doing his unveil?
He is?
Geico unveil?
No. You know, I'm not. He's doing an unveil like Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Really, there's going to be thousands and thousands of people there, but they're not there for him. They're there for Motley Crue. If they expect me to walk into that crowd through those people.
Yeah, hell of a time.
Yeah, that's not happening. I know that those kind of events, and I know when I was younger, there's a lot of people at that point, you know, drinking and carrying on. And for me, being a recovering alcoholic, it does get overwhelming. And I didn't really want to put myself in that position. If I thought that he did really put some work into that bike, mm-hmm. I might go see it. But I know for a fact that Vinny and Odie did 90% of that work, the work on that bike, because he was never there. So
you curious at all?
No, I'm not curious. I know for a fact that Vinny and Odie worked on that bike long hours while Paulie would stop in and out. And I know for a fact that Vinny was really upset about that. So it's kind of like, okay, what am I going to see? Am I going to see a bike that Paulie built, or am I going to see a bike that Vinny and Odie built?
What's going on? Yeah!
Whether my father or anyone from OCC is here in the audience or not, doesn't matter a bit to me. I'm going and doing the same exact thing either way.
I don't know if you know, but I started my own motorcycle company.
My father wanted to downplay it, you know, by saying, hey, everyone was there for Motley Crue. Yeah, they were. I mean, let's look. Motley Crue was coming out afterwards, right? But the crowd that was there, I think they enjoyed. It's our crowd.
Saying the crowd was ready to go, went out there, throttled it, put the microphone down by the exhaust, the crowd went wild, and it was amazing.
This is my first project, guys. I just want to let you know how much this really means to me. It's been a long time. It's been 2 years since I built a bike. I couldn't have done it without these guys.
My father put himself in such a bad light that it's really, you know, caused people to say, hey, we want to go with Junior. That's what I'm seeing. You know, I'm feeling a lot of support from the fans, and so essentially, everything he tried to do to destroy us has only turned around and kind of backfired on him.
Good job. Good job. Good job. Good job. Awesome, man. Good job.
I think if I could say anything to Paulie right now, I think it would be let's sit down without the lawyers, without the cameras, and talk about moving forward.
Mijo.
Hey!
What do you got here, man? You got a little painting going on?
Yes.
You know, it's never too late. It's never a point of no return, in my opinion. Personally, I don't put my faith in my earthly father, or else I'd really be in trouble.
No, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, I know, too.
Yeah.
That's all you worry about.
Gimme.
And you do for it.
Really? I think one of the issues, and it's always been, is going back into the past. Nothing ever gets accomplished by going back into the past. There's nothing but arguments and he said, you said. I would love to sit down with him and say, what do we need to do to move forward? Because all we have is the present. We really can't go back.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dad.
You know, I wish we could just separate.
I know. Me too.
Business with personal.
Me too. Because you know it's going good around here, and we're doing good.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, no matter what, we're still father and son. And if it came right down to it, you know, I would jump off the bridge for him.
You know, everybody thinks because of the TV show and the fame and everything that that all of us kind of lead the greatest lives in the world. But I would definitely trade all of it just to have a good relationship with my father again.
See you later, Michael.
See ya.
There's never the point of no return. There's always hope. And, you know, the idea that my father can change, I think that that's possible. And I think that's what it's going to take. And, you know, I'm willing to make adjustments. But I got to see a real change in my father. Or else it's just healthier for me to not have a relationship with him.